Hey there, everybody. It is December the 8th, 2010. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken. We have a jam-packed show for you this glorious Vermont day. So let's get started and welcome our first guest. Kate Clinton is a political humorist, a family entertainer, a writer, a commentator, a vlogger, and so much more. With an amazing career spanning decades, Kate's unique voice has been featured on film, television, books, DVDs, Broadway, off-Broadway, national tours. She was recognized earlier this year with a Pioneer Award from the Lambda Literary Foundation. Honestly, if I did the intro that she deserves, I would have no time to actually speak with her. So let's just say she's really funny and she's really insightful. Kate Clinton, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Thank you. I'm tired. Who are you talking about?
That's you.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you not know that?
I had no idea.
This is why we do this.
Gay.
This is... Kate Clinton is so gay. That should just be the entirety. So much to talk about, Kate Clinton. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Well, from your website, and I think this is what starts us off, and I'm going to quote directly from your own website.
It must be true.
Well, it's the internet. It's always true.
Oh, sure.
Quote, she still believes that humor gets us through peacetime, wartime, scoundrel time, and economic downtimes.
Mm-hmm.
Do we still believe that?
Absolutely. Now more than ever.
Tell us, what is it about humor?
I think it really is important in very serious, serious times. It's like a little ludic break, a little lucidity for everybody to take a breath, step back, and have a little enjoyment. I think the pleasure of being in an audience and just laughing with your friends is very restorative. And, you know, it's just good for you. I mean, medical science is telling us that. And, you know, I think it's just really important for the pleasure that it brings, but also I think that humor is very dangerous, and you actually get to say things that people might not be able to listen to or to even hear when you say them seriously. So I think humor is very dangerous, and I made a career of it. Actually.
There you go. And still continue to make a career
yes.
of it. It's not over, Kate. You still got more career.
I know.
Now, people are frustrated, and the gay community is frustrated. How do you keep seeing the humor in the face of so much frustration?
Well, I think I take the long view, which is important. I mean, mind you, I'm in very particular moments of, like, reading the paper in the morning. I'm absolutely incensed with everyone. But I think, you know, I take the long view that we're in this very long conversation about LGBT rights in our country and in the world. And, you know, we have setbacks, and then on we go. And some are more, it's almost worse when you get a setback from someone who you thought was a friend. But, you know, it's happened before. And, you know, I just think we have to have a, you know, laugh it off and keep going.
Where do you find the funny? So when you're reading the paper, after you
drugs.
Become... Okay, well, there.
Lots of drugs.
This lesson brought to you at 10 in the morning by Dr. Kate Clinton.
Yes, Big Pharma. Hello. Sponsor the show. Okay. No. Well, you know, I guess I still maintain sort of a... I guess I took some good parts of the Catholic Church. Well, okay, both of them. And, you know, I do think that there's a kind of a divinity in all of us. And that given the right opportunity, everybody will do a good thing. I believe in the old golden, you know, mean that you do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. I'm still optimistic about that.
This is good. That's a good thing. This is a good thing.
Call me Pollyanna.
I will now.
What's the option, really? This is my only life, and I would like to have, I'd like to do it at the Blonde. No, I'd like to, you know, I think what's the point?
Right. Now, what is humor activism?
Well, it's a number of things. I think, first of all, sort of the indomitable optimism that it represents, that we just, as I said, just keep coming back. It is also wonderful witty signs in parades. It's
yes.
witty actions. I had forgotten when I was at the 70s lesbian conference, which happened at CUNY, here in New York a couple of weeks ago, and oh my God, years ago, in like protest lines, it was so hilarious. There was a huge protest lines, and women were handing out little business cards that said to guys saying, "This card has been chemically treated. In 2 days, your penis will fall off." And I just thought, oh my God, that's hilarious. But, you know, so funny things, funny actions make a point a lot. And I also think individually, humor activism can be as simple as someone just telling you the biggest pile of crap you've ever heard, and then you just burst into laughter.
Right.
You just become completely uncontrolled in your laughter, and then sort of come back and look them right in the eye and say, oh, my God, you're serious.
And there's no shortage of that these days,
yeah.
Kate.
Oh, there's lots of opportunity. I don't know how people aren't just busting out laughing and screaming, you're kidding. You've got to be kidding.
Now, I watched one of your vlogs this morning, which is just such a fun word. So let's
it
truly is. That I could crack out laughing. But let's talk about some of these issues. Because now I'm not sure if you know, there was actually tinfoil on your head in the last one.
Well, exactly. It was my last tinfoil creation from Thanksgiving leftovers.
Lovely.
Which I thought I would share. And as I said, I was inadvertently picking up radio signals from China, which is crazy. Sort of WikiLeaks. I didn't mean it.
In my head, you do these in one take. This is not a. This is not two-take Clinton. This is...
It has been so much fun, because in my shows, I'm ridiculously overprepared, probably from my years of lesson plans from teaching high school English. But, I believe in improv, but I also believe that you vary from what you've planned.
Yes.
Like you have something planned.
Very much so.
So this has just been, doing the video blogs has been hilarious. I mean, I sort of prowl around the house going, oh, I could put that on my head. And then I just have three words that I want to talk about. And, sometimes it's a couple of takes because I'm the camera person as well. And sometimes I finish and I look at it and think, oh, my God, I was not even in the picture. So, but it's great fun. It's very, very playful.
Now, let's talk about some of these issues. I'm just going to say things, and it's just going to set you off. It's like pre-plan. What do we do with Don't Ask, Don't Tell these days?
We just keep, just like, those little creatures with the sand in the bottom, and you hit them, and they keep bouncing back. We just keep going at it.
Okay.
We just keep going at it. And just wait for older guys in white hair to die.
Now, total non sequitur. What's up with John McCain these days?
Insane in the membrane. I don't know what he's trying to prove. Everyone is mystified. I was at an amazing event last night, a fundraiser for a group called SWAN, which is Service Women Action Network. And they do a lot of work for women who've been in the military and are suffering from PTSD. There's something like last year, like 3,000 cases of... sexual harassment or rape happened in the military.
Wow.
These are just, it's unbelievable and unacceptable. And I think what these women represent is a change of military culture.
Right.
And that is what John McCain exactly does not want.
It's so bizarre.
It's the largest employer let's cancel two wars and I bet we wouldn't have a deficit. Call me crazy.
He's got the bit in the teeth, though, and just doesn't seem to be letting go.
There's like a little gerbil of bad news in his cheek there. What is that thing?
Anyway,
I don't know what he's trying to prove.
Okay.
That his bona fides of, he's a military man. I mean, the 70% of the military is like, no, we're okay with it.
Right.
Really? Still? No. Oh, let's do another study.
Let's do another one.
No, we're still fine with it.
No, we haven't asked the other McCain extended family. They weren't included in it.
Now, and they're fine. They're like, Dad.
Dad, come on. Now, as you said, you were a school teacher for many years, were you not?
I was.
What is your take on bullying as someone who was inside the classroom?
It's very real. It's certainly, there is bullying of young gay and lesbian people. But there's bullying of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I think that any kind of difference or expression of difference is bullied. So, our work on LGBT bullying should be part and parcel of the whole culture of bullying.
Right.
And, I think it's important to put it in a context of we're in a big bullying country, actually, with the dreams of preemptive wars. Like, could we be bigger bullies ourselves? I think that it's a very specific thing we're fighting because there have been tragic and one is too many suicides as a result of bullying. But I think we will get further if we can connect it to a larger culture of, you know, the looksism that happens and the racism that happens in schools. And, you know, I think we'll have more success if we hook up with other people who are doing this work.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are some great people doing some great work.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I think it's sort of a mixed thing that we have so many people coming out younger and younger.
Right.
I mean, when I was in grammar school and I knew I loved my girlfriends, all I did was hide.
Right.
So I was never bullied, except, you know, for just the basic systemic bullying that kept me in the closet. But, mm-hmm. you know, specifically, and I had a lunch pail, too, and I would use it. So don't. But
now I have that image. Okay.
Yeah. And I like to use it before lunch when the thermos was still full.
I love how you're not even talking about grammar school. You're talking about, like, last week when you went to a luncheon.
Well, that's true. Okay. Sorry. Busted. but, you know, it's mixed. It's like because people are coming out younger and younger, you know, that there is more and more bullying. There's more opportunity to report it, and there's more people to fight for you.
Right.
Which I think is just an enormous improvement. And I think that, you know, there's cyberbullying, of course, but there's also cyber connection. I think that kids are finding each other sooner, and I think that's critical. Oh, you just have to be able to live with a lot of the horns of the dilemma, don't you?
You do.
as much as everybody would like a good either-or now and again, you just don't have them.
No. We talk about that a lot on the show, just about the internet, and sure, cyberbullying, and we have so much to do to address that, but the connections that it fosters is quite unbelievable mm-hmm. when you're in these rural places. We have these people we have teenagers who write into the show and for me in the middle of nowhere and say, oh, your show is my connection to the gay community. And mm-hmm. I want to just say, oh, that's so sad on so many levels, but
I'm happy.
Yeah. But great.
Yeah. But there was nothing. You know,
right.
There were
exactly.
Innuendos, and if you were in the Midwest, you know, you'd take a 2-hour drive to Des Moines, to the city. Wow.
Right.
You know, it's amazing.
Now, you are a regular MC of the Out and Equal Workplace Awards. Why is
Happily, that? Love this.
Why is that an important gig for you?
Well, you know, I think that it's really under the radar. Don't tell anybody.
Ooh,
one of the don't let it go out of the room here, people. But I think one of the critical organizing for gay and lesbian LGBT equality has been what's been happening with employee resource groups in companies, large and small,
mm-hmm.
where someone does not feel comfortable being out at work. They form they form a group, and they sometimes they're supported by their companies.
Right.
And they, you know, they find power with each other, but then they also agitate in the company for, you know, domestic partner benefits, for health, you know, so much for their, you know, maybe for their own relationships mm-hmm. for gay people in general, and safety in the workplace, and the ability not to get fired because you're gay. I mean, I just think, and then these companies are also abroad, you know, so we're bringing, you know, you go to a country to work in a country, can you bring your partner to a country that we're basically, you know, 7 countries in the world where they basically kill you if you're
right,
gay.
Right.
So, I mean, it's really changing a lot. And a lot of companies are seeing that justice is just good business, you know, and able to attract really great employees. And they, it is a culture of acceptance. So it's a group that Out and Equal, it's 11 years old. I would think I was at the first conference where there were about 200. There were 2,500 at the last one.
Wow.
And so, you know, people really, in companies large and small, get fired up at this conference and meet each other and hear what other people are doing, and then they bring it home. And I just think it's just critical. I mean, to be, you know, making cars. Remember when we used to do that?
I vaguely recall.
Yeah. And to be out. And how to make that happen.
Right.
And to make it a safe and accepted thing. It's just amazing. And this is what they're amazingly courageous.
You like this gig?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Did you get that feeling?
Just a little bit. Now, one of your shout outs on your Facebook, which, as we established, all these mm-hmm. things are true, and I quote, This holiday, don your gay apparel and give to your favorite LGBT organization. This is a topic that comes up quite a bit on this show. Do you give locally? Do you give nationally? What's your take on giving to organizations?
Well, till it hurts.
Mm. There you go.
Tithing is good. We're 10% of the population. Do 10% of your worth, or try to get close to it. You know, I think it's important that we have, and we do, but it can be certainly always improved on, a culture of giving and
right.
giving back in our community. And it can be certainly found, you know, to write a check to your favorite organization to become a member of that organization. Usually membership fees are just incredibly mind-bogglingly low.
Right. They really are. They really are.
It's astounding, really. Yeah. And it's also about volunteering. So, you know, you can give money to a national organization, but you can volunteer at your local LGBT center or, you know, volunteer with the group who is trying to start an LGBT center. I mean, there's lots of ways of giving back. I think that it's really, you know, it's really sexy. I think people forget how fabulously sexy activism really is.
Look at that.
There's a lot of hookups. You know, when you're working late at night, you know, making a website with somebody, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know where to go from there.
Praise the Lord. There you go.
Now, what's this about a Justin Bieber haircut, Kate?
I just want to know how he does it. What's the product? And I thought, well, maybe I'll just get a wig.
Because there were some strong responses.
Oh, there were. People were quite upset.
So we'll put that up as a poll on our website, too. Now, I have to tell you, the funniest thing is I think early this morning, as I was just preparing for my day, and I updated my status and said, I'm going to be talking to Kate Clinton in a couple hours. And someone wrote, ooh, and again, I quote, ooh, lesbian power couple. And I wrote back, no, Kate Clinton. But I thought that was kind of a funny, how do you feel about that association?
I don't know. Maybe they should get their prescription checked for glasses.
What do you?
It's a funhouse mirror.
What do you think that's about, lesbian power couple? What could they possibly be referring to?
Let me shout in the other room for a second. It's my dear partner and gal pal of 23 years. Power couple.
Look at
a
that.
A marriage of comedy and tragedy. We're never telling who's.
Yeah, I was just going to ask. And on the.
Coffee early. It's tragedy here.
Do you guys talk politics in the home?
Oh, yes.
You do?
We have the contact sport of reading the newspaper in the bed in the morning.
Nice.
Someone always screaming, throwing the paper down. Her page, I could read the front page all day long, and she reads it, you know, and see something I missed, which makes me insane. But I'm like, where's that? Wonderful.
This is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is a good thing.
It's a great thing.
Now, word on the street is that you're a very mean dreidel spinner.
Yes. I set my own personal record this year because I had gotten, but I had forgotten about it. We went to India and went to an almost defunct synagogue in southern India, and I got some gorgeous glass dreidels.
Wow.
And it just, you know, you got to have good equipment.
You do. You do.
If you want to set some records, your personal best, you got to have good equipment. There's no, you can't get around it.
No, it has to be done. You mm-hmm. have to invest. You have to invest. Now, we have to talk about your musical selections.
This is
the part of the show, Kate Clinton, where we ask you to to psychoanalyze yourself based on the musical selections you have provided to this mm-hmm. show Is So Gay.
And all framed with, she thinks she might want to get a Justin Bieber hair. Go ahead, yes.
That's just the eternal backdrop. We've already established that drugs make you funny and that uh-huh. giving makes you sexy. So this is the part where...
And receiving, of course, darling.
Anyway, yeah. So... 10:20 in the morning, Kate. This is the part where I will give
never
you...
Never too early.
It's never...
blushing. I see you're blushing.
I'm sure I have no idea what you're talking about. This is the part where I will give you a song name, and you will tell us what this song says about Kate Clinton.
Okay.
Okay.
Just told me to give you the songs. You didn't tell me that there would be this follow-up interrogation.
Welcome to the show, Kate.
Thank you.
No problem. What does James Brown's I Feel Good say about Kate Clinton?
feel good. Do I need to say more than that? Who
nope.
Gets through that?
That was good.
I think we all should start every sentence with that. I feel good. All right.
This is where your partner runs into the room and says, I thought you were doing an interview. What happened?
Yes.
And then we have to go there, and I'm a little nervous. And if I wasn't blushing before, I am now.
Okay.
What does Baby Got Back say about Kate Clinton?
Another song. See, my dear girl who knows all of this, the technical stuff and can put together great playlists, she always makes a playlist for the show. And the challenge one year was to do a playlist that people would listen to while waiting for the show that they would get up and dance to.
Yes.
And definitely Baby Got Back is one of those songs.
Sir Mix-a-Lot. Love
Sir
it.
Sir Mix-a-Lot. Oh, my God.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kate, where can people go to learn more about all the cool things that you're doing?
Why, thank you. In a seamless leap, she said, you can go to kateclinton.com.
We've been rehearsing all week, folks.
Bada boom, ching. You can go to kateclinton.com, and it's a great website. I'm Twittering, I'm blogging. I'm working for my publicist, basically.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. What kind of change do you want to see these days, Kate?
Oh, I don't want anyone to go to bed hungry.
Okay.
And I think if we started there and worked our way backwards, we'd solve a lot of problems. But it's just scandalous.
Right.
But, you know, any child goes to bed hungry, there you go. But and I also think I had an idea for my health care plan would have been make sure that every left-handed older lesbian is comfortable and safe and has a good community. And if we work back from that, we'd have health care.
It's a public option.
Yeah.
It's
There's
a public,
public option.
Option.
Exactly.
That's what it is. That's
yeah.
what it is. Now, and I want to tread very carefully here. It is not me that's saying that you've been in the industry, that you've been out there for decades. This is you. Because, you know, you have to be careful when you say things like that.
Can I say that?
It's on the website. So
it must be true. Yeah.
As someone who has done decades of activism, how have you seen it change? What do you see as kind of modern day activism and youth activism? How do you look to inspire people in a different way? How do you see things changing?
there's more walkers in the front row, all right? No. I think we have an opportunity for greater reach. Mm-hmm. I think there's less opportunity for people to be ignorant about gay people, that old homo ignorance is
right.
hard to maintain. But I think we're in danger if we believe our own press and publicity, and
right.
that it really comes down to, at the end of the day, as they say, bottom line is that you have to come out.
Yeah.
You know, it's stunning to me when I talk to people and you know, like in the last 2 minutes of the conversation, you realize, oh my God, they're not out.
Right.
They're not out at work. They're not out to their family. They're not out to their friends. Still the basic building block of what we are trying to do is coming out. And, you know, if you're, you know, anonymously out online, that doesn't count.
Right.
It's like you have to say it, claim it, and you really feel better living in the fullness of that. So, you know, I think that simple thing we forget about a lot, and I've really been pushing it again to people,
right.
you know, to really fully come out.
Well, Kate, I can't tell you what a pleasure it is to have you on the show.
Sure.
I mean,
yeah,
it's...
Go ahead.
It's
oh, no.
It... I could just do the whole second intro, but no, I don't think that humor is recognized for the powerful weapon that it is, and your ability to do that and to look at things and to show us that we can laugh about them, but also have a commentary is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And as named a pioneer, how do you feel about that word pioneer?
Again, the outfits. do I go muslin? And that's so confusing to people if you say it when you have a cold, as I do. is it a Conestoga wagon? I mean, what? You know, can you wear an Ampere waist?
I think we all can.
On the prairie.
I'm wearing one now.
Oh, good.
I'm and wearing
one now.
Not
blushing about that. That is frightening. But,
it's Vermont. It's what we do.
Okay, and it's polar tech. it's wonderful people ask me how does it feel to be a role model, and I always wanted a supermodel.
Right.
wanted more of a supermodel thing happening. But
Well, you are a supermodel to us.
Thank you.
Kate Clinton. No, you really, you are a pioneer, and I love what you do. It's as simple as that.
So do I.
Good.
I absolutely do. I can do without the circling Newark and going through security, but I love what I do. I'm happy. I wish for everyone that they could love their job and feel that they're a part of something and that they're influencing, you know, just one person. It's just, I don't know what I was doing in another life, but I'm really happy about this one.
Right. And as a supermodel, you can safely say tinfoil hats, they're in.
Thank you.
They're in these days. Mm-hmm. Kate Clinton, an absolute, absolute treat having you on the show. Please keep doing what you're doing.
And you.
Okay. Thanks, Kate.
Thank you.
All the best.
You too.
Bye. Hey there, everybody, and welcome back. So a few weeks back, you will recall, our loyal listeners, that I told you about a website called imfromdriftwood.com, and I had to tell you about it because through an act of God, no fault of our own or our guests, we lost the entire podcast. But to make up for that fateful occurrence, we are welcoming, for the first time, Jody's behind me. Say hi, Jody.
Hi.
It's not Jody for the first time. For the first time... In the 104, 105, this show is so gays, we've never had guests in the studio before.
No.
And now we've guests in the studio. So here to talk about I'm From Driftwood, we have its creator, Nathan Mansky. Nathan, welcome to the studio. Filming right back there, Mark Heasley. Just yell out a hello.
Hello.
There you go. That's good. How's it going, guys?
It's going well.
You are on a 50-state tour.
We are.
Do you know what state you're in right now?
Vermont? Or do you mean like what number state?
What actual state? It is correct. You are in Vermont. How is your Vermont experience?
It's been very wet. We plowed through a heavy rain yesterday and then finally made it here, and it's been raining all day. So, yeah, it's a very wet state,
Are you saying that it was raining where you last were?
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's raining here. I don't understand. I'm sure that's a coincidence of some sort.
No, it's not. We started in early September, and on the way, we started in Driftwood, Texas, which is near Austin. And on the way to Dallas, apparently there was a hurricane in the Gulf, which threw a ton of rain, and that's where it started. So it rained in Dallas, it rained when we left Dallas, and it's been raining pretty much for the past 2.5 months.
Okay.
So I apologize for bringing this giant rain cloud along with us.
What's the weather forecast for tomorrow, Jody?
Sun.
And when are you guys leaving?
Oh, we're leaving tomorrow.
I'm sure that is a coincidence. All right, so for the folks who did not catch the live interview, what is I'm From Driftwood?
I'm From Driftwood.com collects true stories by lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people from all over the world. And the goal of the site is, through all these stories, is to help LGBT people feel that no matter who they are, where they are, or what they're going through, that they're not alone. And we have over 500 stories so far, and you know, from I guess about 30 countries, which I guess in the grand scheme of things, 30 countries doesn't seem like that many. But
that's good.
But yeah, they really do come from small towns and big cities and everywhere in between. And you know, I've been getting a lot of feedback, you know, even before the story tour started, just from people who read these stories. And, you know, they're saying, wow, like it's normally either from older people who say, I wish this was around when I was younger, mm-hmm. or, you know, thank you for posting these stories because it makes me realize, you know, out here in, you know, wherever, Driftwood, Texas, or okay. any other similar small town, that there are other people out there like me.
What was story number one?
It was mine.
Was it? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Not in, well, that, you know, that sounds a little egotistical to post my own story first, but I kind of look at it as a baton, and I was handed that baton from Harvey Milk, and because the whole inspiration of the site came from Harvey Milk, he was holding a sign that read, I'm from Woodmere, New York, mm-hmm. and what that meant to me was that, you know, he's known as being this elected official in San Francisco, but he's not from there. He's from this obscure, or, you know, I hope no Woodmere listeners are
really
tuning in.
We're really big in Woodmere. It's kind of one of our niche markets.
But yeah. You know, no one really knows of Woodmere, New York, but that's where Harvey Milk is from. And, you know, even these big gay activists are from these small towns. And, you know, I was thinking about that when I was living in Brooklyn, New York, but I'm from Driftwood, Texas. And so I figured, you know, okay, Harvey's from, you know, Woodmere. I'm from a small town. Mm-hmm. Gay people are from everywhere. And so that's why I wanted to make sure to post my story first, because then I took Harvey's the baton from him, and now I'm passing it on, and all the stories following are from people from all over.
You know, Harvey Milk is my biggest hero. We didn't talk about this last time.
No, we didn't talk about this.
The Mayor of Castro Street is the only book that stays on my bedside table. It is always there. You know, books come and go, but that book stays there. That book affected me in so many different ways, just about how do you find your voice. And that's what I'm From Driftwood's all about, is how do you find your voice. So that's pretty cool. So I had the opportunity to witness you all last night collecting stories. What do you think inspires people to share their stories? Because I saw a couple different motivations last night. It was really cool to watch.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, you know, whenever we, because in addition to written stories, we do these video stories, which Marquise is there for. She's filming me right now, and I'm normally not filmed, so this is a little uncomfortable. But, you know, we always tell people before we start filming, people always ask for, what story are you looking for? Mm-hmm. And I never tell them, you know, and they always get a little frustrated because I never try to help them out. You know, it could be a coming out story. It could be a relationship story. Right. It could be a bad day at work. It could be a good day at work. Anything that has to do with you being LGBT. And I think that's the main thing is I don't care what story you share as long as it's important to you. And that's why I think it, you know, what's important to one person might not mean that much mm-hmm. to someone else, but it might mean the entire world to someone else. You know, that we all, there's so many people on this planet that are inspired by so many different things. You never know what story will inspire someone. And, you know, whoever knew that a photograph of Harvey Milk would inspire me to create this, and who knows, you know, what story. And this is a story of, I almost didn't post one story that I received because I personally didn't think it was up to par with the other stories on the site. And I have a rule where I if it's a story, I'll post it. I don't care if I like it or not. If it's a story, you know, it's up. And but this one, I almost didn't. I was like, it's just not good. That was what I was thinking to myself. And I'm not going to say what story it was. But, you know, I went ahead and posted it. And one of the first comments on that story was somebody saying, this is the best story on the site yet. And it just, you know, it kind of backhanded me across the face. Right. You know, I got that lesson and I was like, okay, you know, that just goes to show that, you know, if it's not important to me or it's not inspiring to me, you know, there's a whole lot of people out there that you don't know what will inspire them. And so
what responses did you get to your story?
Well, of course I passed it around to all my family and, you know, so it was mostly, you know, just support and, right. you know, but I hope people, you know, look at it that way. This is your chance to be heard and share a story with even your close friends that you may not have mm-hmm. shared before. And I say there's three goals to the site. The biggest one that I really just want to focus on is helping LGBT youth feel not so alone. That's right. number one. But there's two secondary goals. And one of those is I want to make sure that the LGBT community knows that it's important to have their stories heard. It's important to have their stories shared, to have that people care about who they are. Right. People care about their stories. And that I and all the other readers of I'm From Driftwood, that they want to hear their story. And the idea of, you know, wow, somebody cares about me and my life and my story. I think that's empowering, and particularly so with the older LGBT generation. They went through a time that, I mean, I can't even imagine. Right. I mean, being arrested for being gay or worse. And it's just, you know, their whole lives they've been told, just stay hidden, just stay out of our society. And I hope that finally now someone's saying, no, I want to hear about you. I want to hear your story. I want to hear your history in your past and preserve it. It's on the interwebs and it'll be there forever, you know, but we want it. It's your story is important and we care a lot about it. So
what I saw last night, there was definitely a difference in pre and post sharing as folks know, I'm at Marlborough College and some of my students share their stories and there was a real difference pre and post sharing. And even if it's great, if it's out there, I'm sure a ton of people will see it. And it's going to help a ton of folks and they'll be able to access it and find their own voice as well. But for the individual shared, there was definitely a pre and post sharing experience for them. And you get to be right there for that. What have you seen just in that pre and post?
I noticed a lot that, you know, beforehand, everyone's nervous, you know, and I totally understand that. It's stage fright, you know, it's beforehand. It's like, oh, I don't know. Like, why is my story important?
Exactly.
Why should my story be online? Or why should anyone care about reading my story? But then after they share it, they have this sort of, you know, confidence about them. And they're like, wow, that felt good. And I tell a lot of people that it's a very therapeutic experience because, you know what, I always tell them, share whatever story is important to you. I'm not looking for any sort of story. It doesn't have to be inspirational, whatever. Just tell me a story that is on the top of your mind that you care about and meant a lot to you. And they do, and they just, it's almost like they take a deep breath afterwards. And last night was a perfect example of that. It was the only one you didn't see.
Of course.
And his voice was trembling, literally, like, throughout the video story. And at the end, he just, you know, he told me, he was like, wow, that was great. And he just relaxed and that's not to say it's only, you know, he was probably 20, he's in college, you know, 20, 21. Just a few weeks ago, we spoke with the mayor elect of Lexington.
Wow.
And it was fairly similar, actually. Not nervous per se, but, you know, constantly trying to think of what to say. And, you know, everyone has that fear or anxiety before they go on camera and what they're about to say. And afterwards, it was funny. I can't decide if I want him to see this or not, or listen to this. Afterwards, he just completely opened up, you know, and the whole time I'm like, where was this? Like when we were filming you, like you know, you obviously care about what you just said, but now what you're saying is just so much more personal and deeper. And, you know, clearly he cares about what he just shared with us. Yeah. So, but that's really it. Before, they're nervous, and after, they feel, you know, just better about it all.
Do you think that maybe it's not the video camera, but the video cameraman who is so distracting to people? Because that's a theory that I don't even think it's the camera. I just think perhaps it is the man behind the camera. I reflect on that.
Well, Marquise is so scary looking. You know, he's very unattractive. It was really a concern for me to bring him along on the tour with me. You know, he doesn't look like a model. You know, I've never called him the Black James Franco. Called him that.
I couldn't imagine you would.
Nope.
And he's got to be busting out at like a 29-inch waist, 30 tops, something like that.
Yeah, probably at the most 30-inch waist. Yeah.
So how have you helped people overcome that fear of the cameraman?
Oh, I tell them, actually, every single person we film, I say, ignore Marquise, ignore the camera, and just focus on me, please. And sometimes I cry because they never look at me.
I can see that working.
Yeah. And so they do, finally. And so, yeah, I plead with them and say, please stop looking at Marquise.
Because I could see people wanting to, all right, I know I'm being filmed, but suddenly I want to get Abercrombie and Fitch clothing, something like that. And it's really, it's difficult. It's difficult to focus. All right, get on the mic, man. What are you doing here on this 50-state tour?
I just want to let you know that's being edited out.
Yes. Not of the podcast. You get control over your film. I get control over my audio. How'd you get into this? How are you here in Brattleboro, Vermont?
Okay, that's the interesting story. Backing up to when I first got involved with Project Totally, Nate basically asked me to do a promo video, and I said it was stupid.
Nice.
And
really in so many words. In so many words.
In so many words. And then I said, let's do something. You're on something good, and it's great, and let's extend that into the video. And so that was basically the calling. And then it's been good ever since, I think.
All right. Yeah. And at what point, now whose idea was it first to do 50 states?
I'll tell this story.
Okay, yay! There's drama.
No drama. Marquise had like a great job. I was laid off the day after I thought of this website, so I was, you know, this is all I'm doing and all I'm focusing on. But Marquise had this, you know, very comfortable job, and he was in Philly in this apartment, like living very just fine, you know. And so, you know, we're IMing one day, and I said, Marquise, I have this idea. Like, I want to really get out there in America and actually get these stories. And I want to meet the people behind them and really just capture more. And we can have more control over people we interview and film to make it truly more diverse and just all these different reasons. And then like, I just threw it down. I was like, I want to go to all 50 states. And he kind of, you know, like just like a pause or like, and then Marquise is typing, you know, like dot, dot, dot.
And, which is, by the way, is better than Marquise is offline.
Right. And then he was like, well, what if we did like a 10-city tour, you know, like in the Northeast, like let's give it a little trial run.
Okay.
And I was like, no, like who cares about a 10-city tour? Right. Like no one's going to care about that. And except us, you know, but it's not going to get picked up. It's not going to, you know, get any attention from people. And I knew that we had to, I mean, as cheesy as it sounds, it's go big or go home.
Yeah.
And I was like, and we even considered 48 states because Alaska and Hawaii, of course, are not easy to get to, and we can't drive there. So we considered that, but it just always went back to, it's got to be all of it or just no. Like, it has to be all of it. Mm-hmm. 50 state story tour. Like, 48, it's like, what about a lot? It'll make people think about what about the other two, you know? So I convinced him, and, you know.
Did you do this all on Instant Messenger that you convinced him?
Most of it. He came around a little bit on Instant Messenger, but is this where we talked about this drunk, or was that?
The dispute is on where the actual initial conversation started. That's where the dispute is. I'll let him tell his version.
Okay. Well, I love diverging stories.
The first dispute came, or the first time he mentioned it was we're either going or coming from a bar in Brooklyn, and he brings it up, and I looked at him like he was crazy, and that's when I first mentioned, I think maybe 8 cities.
Okay.
10 cities would have been a stretch. I'm thinking, okay, I have 2 weeks of vacation. I have 2 weeks of vacation. What can we fit in a, you know, 2 weeks vacation? I'm willing to use my vacation. And then he's stuck on 50 states.
All right.
And then he started putting things in motion, and then I could see, okay, I think he's serious about it. And so I had to think, and now we're here.
Now, the rumor is that, and I got to do air quotes that people can't see because, you know, it's radio, that your brother is here. Now, I haven't actually seen him. I'm told, I keep being told that he's in the hotel room. So, it's really sketchy. He's been there for days. I think he's been there for like 2 weeks at this point. So, he's here, right? But He's real. He's not real.
He's real. He's okay, real. And he's real. Here. I convinced him to do this whole thing also. Actually, I didn't convince him. He had to convince me to let him be the driver.
Nice.
I was at a coffee shop and he went for a run and stopped by on the way back home. And I started telling him, you know, we got to find a driver because we can't afford all the time lost driving from place to place without working and editing.
Right, right.
So I was just telling him all about it. And little did I know, I was pretty much selling the job to him, but I didn't mean to be. And then he was at the end, he was just like, I want to be the driver. And, you know, we're roommates also back in New York. So okay. I know we get along, and even though Marquise would laugh at that, but we fight all the time, but, it's, you know, we're brothers, so we can't break up. So,
yeah,
but no, so he was totally into it. He has a girlfriend back in New York, and, I told him, I was like, I thought about you, but you have a girlfriend and you have a job, and, you know, I just didn't seriously consider it. Mm-hmm. So, he said, well, let me talk to him and figure it out. And his girlfriend, you know, was really cool. And, you know, through a few tears, I think, you know, and she was like, of course, like, I don't want to stop you from having this amazing experience. So, but they FaceTime like every day. So whatever, they both have iPhones and are always talking. So, and then his job, he pretty much took a leave. He went in and told them what he's doing, and they were completely behind it and supportive, and said,
fantastic.
We can't guarantee your job when you get back, but I mean, we had to train you. So, you know, we're not going to say yes, right. But we're not going to say no. So wink. You
and
know.
How has your relationship changed, you and Marquise, since
honestly, I was actually worried about it beforehand, and we talked about it. We have, you know, we're really communicative and open. But before Marquise even started working on these video stories and working on the website, you know, we were just acquaintances. We weren't good friends. He lives in Philly. We met through mutual friends when he was visiting New York. And for the first video stories, I asked somebody else who lived in New York to do them, mm-hmm. Or to do the promo video that Marquise talked about. And then he actually recommended Marquise. So we've never been super close until we started doing these video stories. And then to spend 4 months together, like this far apart, right. You know, an arm's length apart, you know, how can you not think about what that's going to do to your friendship? And, you know, halfway through, it's just, well, we've probably gotten in two or three fights, but it's always been productive. It always comes out with a solution and how to make something better. So it's all, you know, either production arguments or you know, logistical arguments that is always working towards something. So,
and he's mostly been the one that's been wrong.
I mean, well, always, but I at least, you know, compromise along the way, you know, throwing him bones and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Very magnanimous.
Yeah.
And you guys will always have this experience together. I mean, for the rest of your life, you will always have this experience together, which is pretty incredible.
Exactly. And somebody just last week asked me, are you looking forward to January 10th when it's over?
Mm-hmm.
And two parts of me, you know, one was like, yes, like, I want my own bed and I want, you know, I just want to like end it. And the other part is this has been just unbelievable meeting all the people. We try not to stay in hotels. We stay with people. Mm-hmm. They open up their homes for us. We've met a lot of people that way. And, you know, but the other side of that is I'm looking forward to being finished so I can take a step back and reflect on what I've learned and how I've changed and what I now know about, our community that not many people can know without visiting all 50 states and these small towns and different cities. And I don't know what that answer is yet. I was hoping I would along the way just for blogging reasons, but I have in documentary reasons. Like we had an idea for a documentary at the very beginning, to film along the way, but you know, you have to have a story, something to carry you through. And that idea was, gay people leaving their small towns. Is that happening as much as it used to, or is it changing because society's views of the LGBT community is changing? And very early on, probably we started in Texas and in Oklahoma or Kansas, we kept asking people, you know, did you leave your small town because you're gay? And at first it was just like, no. And then, you know, we were like, well, that's not going to help my documentary. So let me rephrase that. Yeah. I was like, let me ask you again, how badly were you, you know, bullied in school and how bad was it being gay in your small town?
Why aren't you crying?
And so finally we realized, okay, we're having to push really hard to make the story that we wanted work. And I don't think that's the way you should do it. I think, you know, so we kind of abandoned that idea and really you know, we'd been talking to people and some filmmakers, and they said, just listen for it. You know, just wait for it. It'll come to you. I know it just sucks because we can't go after the footage that we think we need, right. You know, so we might be missing something, but we don't know that until the topic of the story of the documentary kind of comes to fruition. And I have a feeling that won't happen until this is all finished.
That's fine.
So
it might not be till a bit after that, but you're open to it.
And that's, yeah.
I'm kind of excited that you don't know where this is going yet, because there's so many different places this could all end up.
Yeah.
What day of the week is January 10th?
I don't know, actually. So
really?
Apparently I'm not thinking about it that much. But.
Good. Marquise, January 10th?
I'm going to go with Thursday.
Okay.
But
so
you don't know.
He doesn't really know either. Good. Wow, he really just BS's his way through it. I have no idea. It's not my story for.
Monday.
Thanks. See,
okay.
Thank you, Jody.
All right.
Thank you.
That's
Monday.
Because we wanted to spend the weekend in New Orleans.
There was a whole rhyme and reason to it. That's good. So where do folks go to learn more about all the cool things that you guys are doing?
There's actually two websites. One is obviously imfromdriftwood.com. That's where all the stories are. There's video stories, written stories. And I really want to just keep that stories only. That's why I didn't want to involve the story tour too much on the site. If people want stories, they should just be able to go get them and read them and be inspired by them. And because of that, I started a blog, which chronicles kind of the adventures of the whole tour. Mm-hmm. And that's 50statestorytour.com. And you can go there and we talk about all the people we meet, where we're going, where we've been, what we've been doing. And you can go to either one and find the other site, you know, or blog on them. But yeah, it's been really, and this is thrown around a lot, but this is definitely an adventure of a lifetime.
It is. It is. Now, this show is about nothing if it's not about how people use their voice. And every email we get, every communication we get over the past 2 years for the show is, I don't know how to get my voice out there. I don't know how to use my voice. And you guys have to both understand that what you're doing and your brother, quotes, for people who can't see it, our driver, you guys have to know that you are giving people a voice that really, there is nothing more empowering, and it's making such a huge difference. And you don't know where it's going to go yet, and we'll see where it all goes, but even in the process, my hope is you understand how big it is of what you're doing. This is a big deal.
Well, thanks. We're so, so busy. Today was going to be our day off because we really crammed some stuff in yesterday, and we just ended up working all day in the hotel room, which, you know, is fine, but, you know, when we're in the middle of it, it's hard to really see what it is until it's finished. Right. And then finally we can look at it as a whole, you know, but, I appreciate that. It's very encouraging to hear that along the way because, you know, it's not always easy doing this. So
what's next? So you guys are heading out tomorrow, taking the rain clouds with you. Where are you off to?
We're going to, New Hampshire. I forgot the town.
Is it Concord?
No, it's near Concord though.
Okay.
I don't know. I have two amazing, amazing volunteers back in New York. One, Desiree, she helps us find housing.
She's my buddy.
she's amazing. And Troy equally is amazing.
We exchange about 14 emails a day. Just
you and Troy?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's
yep. Well, you know them both.
I know them both.
And Troy helps us have different reading events. Because that's another thing. In addition to just collecting stories, we want to share these stories. Mm-hmm. We want to get these stories out there to as many people as possible. So Troy has really been amazing with helping us, you know, get in touch with different organizations. Within 2 days, we were at a youth center talking to young people, and the next day we were at Sage, which is for seniors.
Great.
And so it's Troy and Dez are an integral part of this whole story tour. So
you can almost hear her smiling through her emails. He's a little more sardonic, but you know you can hear her smiling. Are we getting cool text messages?
On our schedule on the site, I now know where we're going.
Where are you going?
We're going to Hempstead.
Jody, have you been to Hempstead?
I may have been through it.
Okay.
I'm actually going
to
be in Concord tomorrow morning.
Look at that.
Oh, wow.
We're all going to New Hampshire, except for me, because it's going to be sunny here and I'm staying. All right. Marquise, last words? You having fun? And with that ringing endorsement, Marquise Lee, Nathan Mansky, a pleasure having you on the show again. This time, you know, everyone will actually hear it. Keep doing your story tour. Keep collecting these stories. Keep giving people voice. Thank you guys so much for what you're doing.
All right. Thank you.
That was Nathan Mansky and Marquise Lee from I'm From Driftwood. So stroll on over to imfromdriftwood.com. You can click on Story Tour right there and click on the Support the Tour little button right there on your right. It's pink. And you can support the tour. And anything that you can do to help them in this journey would be enormously appreciated. We're talking about gas money here, folks. Anything that you can do. They are out there collecting the voices across the country. Can't wait to see how this whole project comes together. And that about wraps things up for tonight's show. As always, drop us an email at thisshowisogay@aol.com. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com to listen to old podcasts and check out upcoming guests and learn more about the hosts. And, of course, go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like our page. We like you. Please like us. And that's it. Go out, go do some incredible, incredible things. Make a difference in the world. Make someone laugh. Collect some voices, whatever it is that you can do. And above all else, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
Oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. It is so big. She looks like one of those rap guys' girlfriends, but, you know, who understands those rap guys? They only talk to her because she looks like a total prostitute, okay? I mean, her butt is just so big. I can't believe it's just so round. It's like out there. I mean, gross. Look. She's just so black.
I like big butts, and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Now when a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough, cause you notice that butt was stuffed. Deep in the jeans she's wearing. I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh, baby, I wanna get whipped up and take your picture. My homeboy tried to warn me, but that butt you got makes
me so horny.
Ooh, rump a smooth skin. You say you wanna get in my bins? Well, use me, cause you ain't that average groupie. I seen her dancing. To hell with romance, and she's sweat, wet. Got it going like a turbo vet. I'm tired of magazines. Send flat butts all the thing. Take the average black man and ask him that. She got a pack much back. So, fellas,
yeah.
Fellas,
yeah.
Your girlfriend got your butt.
Hell
tell
yeah.
Her, shake it,
shake it,
shake it,
shake it.
Shake that healthy butt. Baby got ballet
kicks with the open booty.
Round and big, and when I'm throwing a gig, I just can't help myself. I'm acting like an animal. Now here's my scandal. I wanna get you home and double up. I ain't talking about Playboy, cause silicone parts are made for toys. I want them real thick and juicy, so find that juicy double. Mix a lot's in trouble, begging for a piece of that bubble. So I'm looking at rock videos. Not knee bimbos walking like hoes. You can have them bimbos. I'll keep my women like Flojo. A word to the thick soul sisters, I wanna get with ya. I won't cuss or hit ya, but I gotta be straight when I say I wanna. Till the break of dawn, baby, got it going on. A lot of simps won't like this song, cause them punks like to hit it and quit it. And I'd rather stay and play, cause I'm long and I'm strong and I'm down to get the friction on. So, ladies,
yeah.
Ladies,
yeah.
If you wanna roll my Mercedes,
yeah.
Turn around. Stick it out. Even white boys got the shout. Baby got back. Baby got back.
Yeah, baby. When it comes to females, Cosmo ain't got nothing to do with my selection. 36, 24, 36.